On Tuesday's front page, coalition forces continued to pound Libya. European nations are feuding over who should take command of the no-fly zone. President Obama said it's still U.S. policy that Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi needs to go. What the merger of AT&T and T-Mobile will mean for consumers, and what happened to one minister when the church downsized. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says a third straight night of attacks pounded forces loyal to Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi. The pro-Gaddafi forces have been holding out against an amateurish rebel counterattack. Pentagon officials say there were fewer coalition airstrikes in Libya on Monday. President Obama was in Chile, where he said it's still U.S. policy that Gaddafi needs to go. But how is Washington defining where to intervene? What about Bahrain or Yemen? Times reporter Mark Landler looks at the decision-making process.
This question of when you intervene and when you don't is obviously one of the thorniest ones that every American president faces. Egypt was an unusual case because you had a military, A, that had very deep ties to the United States, and that, B, played a very responsible role in the society. In Gaddafi in Libya, you have neither. President Obama has called for Gaddafi to step down. Secretary Clinton has also called for him to step down. Yet Admiral Mullen over the weekend suggested that there might be an outcome where Gaddafi would remain in power. Are you willing to live with a Libya that's in effect split in two and a stalemate? And that's the prospect that they're facing.
Times reporter Mark Landler. Separately, Libya freed four Times journalists. They were detained last week by forces loyal to Gaddafi in Ajabiya. They were released in the custody of Turkish diplomats and crossed safely into Tunisia. In Yemen, the top military figure and four other generals threw their support behind protesters who want the president ousted. Brigadier General Ali Mohsin Al-Amar had been a pillar of support for President Ali Abdullah Saleh. His about-face came in the wake of bloody clashes last week that left more than 45 people dead. Now rival soldiers are holding positions in different parts of the capital. Also on Tuesday's front page, a month before the earthquake in Japan, government inspectors approved a 10-year extension for the oldest reactor at the Fukushima nuclear plant. Tokyo Electric later admitted to inspection failures at the plant. There were warnings about safety. Stress cracks had been spotted in the backup generators that made corrosion a possibility. Those generators are believed to have been knocked out by the tsunami, shutting down the reactor's cooling system. Times reporter Michael Wines looks in on a Japanese town that's clinging to hope, or trying to. The town is Rikuzen Takata. More than 1 in 10 people there are either dead or haven't been seen since the tsunami. Mayor Futoshi Toba survived on the roof of City Hall as the tsunami wiped out virtually everything in sight, including his house. His wife is among the missing. Times reporter Jenna Wortham says the AT&T and T-Mobile merger will be a windfall for the Wall Street firms that put the deal together. But what about consumers? She says the experts are still trying to figure that one out. Some say there'll be higher prices because with fewer carriers, there'll be less competition. But wireless analyst Chetan Sharma says that having 30 million more subscribers might convince AT&T to try friendlier data pricing. He says that could mean family data plans. Mark Almley used to have what you might call a middle management job. Then, nearly 2 years ago, he was laid off. He's been looking for a new job ever since. He's a minister, and he's single in a field where the people making the hiring decisions would rather have someone who's married with children. Almley says that's discrimination. The president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary says it's unfair to use that word. Our Albert Moeller Jr. says discrimination implies something wrongful. He says there's no wrong here. Inside Tuesday's Times, a look at Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour. He's a former Washington lobbyist and former chairman of the Republican National Committee. If he runs for president next year, he could be a test of whether the GOP establishment collides or joins forces with conservative grassroots activists. Tuesday's Business Day section says Barbie's companion just turned 50. Ken is getting redesigned. Mattel put male contestants in webisodes. They competed to be Ken's new face, literally. As redesigned, the Ken doll will resemble contest winner Curtis Taylor. He's a 25-year-old former defensive lineman for Iowa State. China is tightening electronic censorship in the wake of the unrest in the Arab world. Chinese officials appear to be more determined than ever to smother anti-government chatter. One Beijing entrepreneur was talking to his fiancée last week. They were talking about restaurants, and he quoted a line from Hamlet, the one that goes, "The lady doth protest too much, methinks." He said it twice. The second time he said the word protest, her phone cut off. A pediatricians group says toddlers shouldn't graduate to a forward-facing car seat until at least age 2. For most toddlers, the big moment now comes at age 1. The new advice from the American Academy of Pediatrics is mostly based on a 2007 study from the University of Virginia. It found that children under 2 are 75% less likely to suffer serious or fatal injuries if they're facing backwards in a crash. Here in New York, tell it to the judge online. Drivers looking to challenge a parking ticket don't have to go any farther than the nearest computer. The city announced it set up an online portal where residents can submit written rebuttals and upload evidence. That includes snapshots of the car in question. New York City education officials are set to approve a $9.3 billion school construction budget, but they're cutting how many new schools will go up in the next 3 years. Instead of the 56 approved by the city council, 26 will get built. City officials are facing up to what they say is a new cap on construction aid from the state government. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.